Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There is such a need. I don't care how many times we learn about walking in the Spirit, there's such a need to review it and challenge ourselves and say, am I walking in the Spirit? And let's go to one more. Let's say Ephesians, to the right a few pages, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Ephesians 5 and 18. I want to talk tonight about how to get filled and stay full of God's Holy Spirit. Really, it's a two-part message. I don't know how it's going to finish up. But we're going to try to do some things tonight and then next Sunday night as well. But Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine. I don't want to ask how many of you have ever been drunk with wine. And you say, I never got drunk on wine, but I got drunk on beer, I got drunk on whiskey, got drunk on... Well, the same thing applies. Be not drunk with wine, wherein always is what? Listen, you start messing with the things of this world, it will always lead to excess, but be filled, however, with the Spirit. Now, when we start talking about being filled with the Spirit, just a drop of something is really worthless. How many of you want to have just a drop of coffee? I fix cups of tea, and somebody would say, just a drop of milk. And I look at them, and they go, and if Eric is serving them, he goes and he puts one drop in if they say a drop of milk. But you know, a drop of coffee is not coffee. I want a cup that is filled to the brim. We went to Spain, we were talking yesterday, and they have these little bitty cups. You go to Turkey, it's even smaller. And I mean, it's like, that is unfair. It tastes good, but you want more. Because psychologically, you want a big cup of coffee. I don't want a bite of a sandwich. Who's starving? And then your wife says, only a bite? I don't want an empty house. I want a house filled with kids and grandkids. Even great-grandkids, amen? And I don't want just a sprinkling of God's blessings. I want God's blessings to their fullness and even to overflowing. You know, aren't you glad that we didn't go to God to get just a bit of forgiveness? He gave it abundantly. Folks, turn it around. Just like you don't like just having a bit of something, God didn't like to have just a bit of us. He'd like to have all of us. He wants to fill us. I'm afraid we don't have much room in us. Our thoughts are our own. Our time is our own. Our wallet is our own. Many of you got saved, but your wallet's still pagan. Amen. So tonight I want to learn, at least start to learn and review. I mean, some of these things we hear over and over. It's been a while since we talked about the focus on the Holy Spirit here, but let's learn about being filled with His precious Holy Spirit. Father, I ask that You would help us to focus on this means to an end. This is not, I don't want to be filled with the Holy Spirit just to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit so that I no longer fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I don't want to end up just filled with the Holy Spirit because that's not what I need. What I need is to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that I walk in that Spirit. Would You teach us tonight some great truths? Encourage us tonight that it can be done, that it is awesome, it is the right way and the best way, and it is the Bible way. And Lord, just kick out the devil for a little while and help us to focus on some spiritual things tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now there are different spirits. I don't have to tell you there are some unclean spirits in the world. Go to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to do a bit of a Bible study, and then I'm going to go to the application here. Matthew chapter 16. I don't care how long you've been saved, but we get it out of our head. We forget that there are some unclean spirits in the world. Satanic spirits, to be precise. Matthew chapter 16, verse 20 says this. Then charged he, Jesus, charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him. He physically grabbed Jesus Christ
And he began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." He, Jesus, turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me," what? "Satan, thou art an offense unto me." Imagine being Peter at that point. "Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Folks, there are some spirits, and Peter didn't know that he was under the influence of it. There are some satanic spirits. There are some bad attitudes, some evil attitudes. Proverbs is full of describing the haughty spirit. The spirit of anger and revenge. Luke chapter 9, you're in Matthew. Go to the right, find Luke chapter 9, verse 52. Luke 9, 52, and he sent messengers before his face. Luke 9, 52, and he sent messengers before his face, and they went and they entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they, the Samaritans, did not receive him. They didn't open their doors. Jesus didn't have an apartment there. There was no hotel to stop in. He needed somebody to say, "You can stay in my home." But nobody opened their door because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem to the Samaritans was like Belfast was to Macroom guys. It's like, "You're going there? Well, we don't want you here then." That's the attitude that was there. Verse 54, when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume?" I think these are James and John. "Do you want us to burn them up, Lord?" Wow. And even we have Bible for it. We have a Bible verse that allows us to call down like Elijah did. But he turned and rebuked them and said, "Ye know not what manner of spirit you're of." There's a spirit of jealousy, the spirit of disobedience, the spirit of heaviness. There's a spirit of whoredoms, which is the same as pornography and lust. Folks, there's a spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There are a multitude of unclean, unholy spirits in this world. And then there's the Holy Spirit. Then there's the Holy Spirit. He's called in Daniel's life. We don't have time. It says that Daniel had an excellent spirit about him. I mean, it was just unanswerable that you could not yet. They had to make up a law to find a fault with him. He had an excellent spirit. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13 says, "A faithful spirit ought to be in the life of the believers." A faithful spirit. Even the Spirit of Christ. Folks, I just want to get to, there's the Holy Spirit. Each one of those things are denoting the effect of the Spirit of Christ in us. And we are, whether you know it or not, can I say something that might revolutionize your thinking? We are always filled with some kind of a spirit. We're always filled with some kind of a spirit. What are you known for? And it's always apparent. It's always apparent. You've got to make sure you're filled with the right spirit. Now, many times in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit empowered an individual. That means they supernaturally, go to Judges chapter 6, Judges, right after Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, comes Joshua, Judges chapter 6, verse 3. Many times in the Old Testament, there was the empowerment of an individual by the Holy Spirit, which means that they were supernaturally enabled to do something they couldn't have done without him. They were enabled to do something impossible. So Gideon is our first one here. Judges chapter 6 and verse 34, the Bible says this, "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon" who? Here's our man, Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Gideon is terrified. Gideon is, he sees himself only that big. He's not humble, he's terrified. And he wouldn't have taken on a grown spider. If Sarah had called him to come kill the spider, he would have said, "Get somebody else." But when the Holy Spirit came on Gideon, he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered
after him, Abiezer was another general, and a lot of other armies, and they went after the enemy. Jephthah's another one. Gideon is another. Samson is another one. It says the Holy Spirit came upon him. He picked up the jawbone of a donkey, and he killed 1,000 men. No guns. No sword. But he's just like a ninja. And he's just amazing. Not because he had great abilities, but because the Holy Spirit came on him and gave him, enabled him to do what couldn't otherwise be done. King Saul even had the Holy Spirit come upon him and helped him prophesy, helped him be a king. Young David, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon him. Now, I want to say that there are many others. I'm giving you times when the Holy Spirit empowered an individual. But I want to say this. We're not in the Old Testament anymore. We're actually in the New Testament. Everything that was present in the Old Testament is actually better in the New. Whatever they were able to do is nothing compared to what a Christian can do. Not that you can zap your enemy, although you may want to. Not that you may be able to walk on water or air or whatever. Not that you'd be able to fight with a jawbone of an ass. But, folks, God wants to do more than just empower you. And this is maybe just something that will help you go, all right, why do I want the filling of the Holy Spirit? Do I want it so that I can have victory over my enemy? Is that why you want it? Now, let me back up here and build one more thought here before we go right into the thought. The Holy Spirit is always at work on us. Aren't you glad? We're not Calvinists here. Come on, nod your head. The Holy Spirit is always working on every single person in the world. He's always knocking. He's always Cornelius there. Cornelius was trying to be religious, and the Holy Spirit said, Peter, you better go give him the gospel. See, God doesn't need Peter if he's a Calvinist. God can win and save Peter without, I mean, can save Cornelius without Peter. But God doesn't work that way. God saw somebody who would get saved and says, go tell him the gospel. Amen. The Holy Spirit is always at work on us. Do you remember when he birthed you? Take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. You know you were born again by the Spirit of God. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 1 Peter 3:18. I'm going to go around our audience here tonight. Let's see. I'll start on the back there with Eric. Would you read 1 Peter 3:18, please? All right. So the Holy Spirit resurrected Jesus Christ, didn't he? And he resurrects you. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. What quickened us? The Holy Spirit of God. He birthed you into the kingdom of God. Aren't you glad you couldn't birth yourself? Secondly, his work is constantly, whether you like it or not, humbling us. Before he can ever do anything with us, what do you got to do? He's going to knock you all the way down so he can start over with you. You see, even after salvation, even after you get saved, he's still got to get rid of a lot of baggage, doesn't he? Amen. The primary work of the Holy Spirit is to humble you. Nod your head. Not to make you feel better about yourself. Not to puff you up, build you up. Not to make you successful. His primary work is to convict you of sin. And to humble you and break you. The Holy Spirit is always at work convicting us, as I've already said. He's trying to show us where we're wrong so that we can get right. Isn't that good? Can you imagine if the driving instructor in the car with you as you're learning to drive, as you cross the median and you're not really paying attention, you're worried about your foot and you're worried about whether you've got the right position for the brake and stuff, and he just lets you cross the median. You're both going to die, aren't you? So the purpose of the Holy Spirit in your life is to say, get back in your lane! Amen? Oh, I'm sorry. I love grandkids. That was to wake you up too. Convicting. We've got the Holy Spirit first, before he ever does anything beneficial in our life, he first
shows us where we're out of line so that he can bring us back in line. Then he does something absolutely amazing. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. 1 Chronicles. I have to be more careful. I just forgot. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 16, 17, 18. Allison, please. He'll get over it. Scarred for life. Messiah, say yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of background to this, but Amasai was on the other team. He had fought against David, but Amasai. The whole thing, the Holy Spirit was working on him saying, you know what, King Saul has not been a very good king. I'm going to change sides. And he went to David and he said, and David said, if you become peaceably, I'll accept you. But if you come to betray me and try to trick me or whatever, you're dead. And Amasai, the Holy Spirit came on and he says, we are yours. We're with your heart. And the idea is that the Holy Spirit wants us to change sides. The Holy Spirit works on us to conquer us so that we come under. I used to be the servant of sin. I used to be the servant of what I called myself, but it was a servant of Satan. And the Holy Spirit draws me, even after I'm saved, to realize I need to be totally submitted to my new king, just as Amasai was to David. All right? So his work is to get me to not be victor, but to be conquered first. And that ought to be very helpful to you where you realize the reason why God is taking so long to work on you is because you're still... Am I with you? Are you with me? All right. Now he can build you up. Maluki, would you read Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 22? Ephesians 2, 22. All right, so ye are builded together as a habitation of God through the work of who? Through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is trying to work in your life and actually in the church's life so that we're a habitation of the Holy Spirit of God. Is he going to survive that? So the Holy Spirit now, folks, I put it in order for a purpose. Now he can build you up. Would it be, Maluki? You ever seen people, I'm not a builder, I don't know if you've ever built anything besides, you know, sandwiches, hamburgers, that's all I'm good at building. But can you imagine looking at an old derelict house and saying, I'm going to build a house, and the house has got no roof, it's all falling apart, there's green things growing all over the place, and I just start piling bricks on top of it. And then I stick a roof on top, and I put a door on it. Would you live in a house like that that's built upon a dump of a house, a wreck of a house? No, you first got to tear it all down or build it up and prepare it to carry the weight of all the rest of the house. And the idea is God has to tear us completely down before he can rebuild us. So building us is later on in the Christian's life where you say, Lord, why are you constantly stripping me down? Why are you constantly pulling me in all these different directions? Why aren't you making me so much better when he's saying, I'm trying to pull away from you. I'm trying to extract from you old baggage that's got to be taken out of the way so I can build you up. And who's the building for? For God. And it's a spiritual work. Then he enables you to bear one another's burdens. Numbers 11:17. Amanda. Numbers 11:17. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers.
why, do you know this is, do you know anything about in management, when you have a lot of people working for you, a lot of decisions have to be made. Bills have to be paid. You have to spend a lot of time trying to keep everybody happy. Right? That was Moses. But he had an entire nation of people he was trying to keep happy. And the Lord said, I'm going to enable, by the Holy Spirit, other people to carry the burden with you. And that's what Moses needed. As a matter of fact, Jethro, his father-in-law, saw that as well. But here, the idea is, what is the Holy Spirit doing? Yes, the pastor's got to preach, and yes, he's got to make decisions, but I need the Holy Spirit working in you, so you help me. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, I'll self-destruct, just like Moses would have. So the Holy Spirit is at work trying to help get people to pull together, to hold together, so we carry one another's burdens. And then He leads us. The Holy Spirit is constantly showing us where to walk. Do we obey? Do we pay attention? Usually not. But most of all, He wants to fill us. Why does He say, fill us? And I want to talk about that. Because I want to say He doesn't fill anyone who won't let Him. And I'm going to get right here. What would it be like if we as Christians were filled with the Holy Spirit for extended periods of time? Wouldn't it be nice, Nita, to have a cup of coffee when you're drinking it and you set it back down and it went, yeah. Wouldn't it be nice to sit down and you have one of those big jam-filled donuts, you know, chocolate-covered donuts. Yeah, take a bite of it and set it down and it fills back up and you go, whoa. And folks, when God saved us and seeks to put His Holy Spirit in us and to fill us, He wants us to stay filled. And I'm going to show you a little bit here. What would it have been like if we were filled, if we lived filled with the Holy Spirit for an extended period of time? Jesus was filled. Luke 2:20, Hannes, Luke 2 and verse 20. I'm sorry, Luke 2:40. Thank you. Luke 2 and 40. Wow, from a child, he waxed strong. Now go to chapter 4 now, in verse 1. How old do you have to be, Dean, to get filled with the Holy Spirit? John the Baptist was filled from the mother's womb, but that was kind of an unusual case. You know, the moment you get saved, you should learn how to be filled. I don't care if you're 5 years old or 55. Amen? All right, so, Hannes 4:1. All right, so Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. The apostles were filled, Acts 2 and verse 4, Myra. Acts 2 and verse 4. All right, they all were filled. Listen, the apostles were filled. Did you know it's available to all believers? What does it say in Ephesians 5:18? And be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but for all of us, be filled with the Spirit. So, how do you get filled? How do you stay filled? A few points. Maybe it'll help you. I know it just encourages me and it reminds me. First thing, you ready? You ready? Humble yourself. Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. When you found that, also find the book of Psalms. To the left, find Psalm 34. Isaiah 57 and Psalm 34. Isaiah 57 in verse 15. Okay, Dennis, would you read Isaiah 57, 15?
Amen. So he's got a very high and lofty place where he lives, doesn't he? But he also lives in the heart of a contrite, of a small one, of a humble person, doesn't he? All right, let's look at one more. Psalm 34 and verse 18. Psalm 34 and 18. Thank God. Now, the hardest first step you'll ever take is the step where you humble yourself. You ever been embarrassed? Anybody ever humbled you? Oh, man. That's the most painful thing that ever happens. But the harder thing is for you to humble yourself. What does it mean to humble yourself? It means to constantly not react in your own interest. Now, that doesn't mean you become a wimp. But it's like you're not there at all. You don't care. Whatever they want to say, whatever they want to do, all you're thinking of doing is honoring the other person. And that is the kind of container that the Holy Spirit seeks to fill. He seeks to fill someone who's not in the way. Does that make sense? Who shoves all the furniture out the back door and says, fill it up with you. Second thing, worship the person of the whole, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to John chapter 16. And do you have your Bible? Bad boy, Steve. All right, I'm going to ask Maureen if you will read John 16, 13. You brought your Bible, didn't you, Ms. Maureen? Good for you. Amen. There's one saved, one sanctified person in the group. You're looking at John 16, 13, please. No, missed a word. Try it again. He will. Yes. And 14. So the Spirit of Truth is another name for the Holy Spirit. And if you want the Holy Spirit to be at work in your life, start worshiping Jesus Christ. I know countless numbers of people who are focused on worshiping the Holy Spirit, and they're praying to the Holy Spirit, and they're trying to get the attention of the Holy Spirit, and they're wasting their time. They're talking to the wrong person of the Trinity. You start focusing on Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit helps you. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Worship Jesus. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, is to help you worship Him. That's why church, you want the most spiritual place on the planet, is a place that lifts up Jesus Christ, not the Holy Spirit. So, worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay in love with Him, whom having not seen, ye love. Though now for a season, how's the rest of it go? Oh, come on. Whom having not seen, ye love. First Peter, I don't have time, I got to rush. Worship Him. I want to say this. What things might detract my worship of Jesus Christ? Sin. Okay, we're going to talk about that. One of the things that helps you stay worshiping Jesus is right music. Wrong music gets you onto yourself. So right music. I think every home ought to have Christian music, not 96 FM. Because I want to stay worshiping. If I want to be, hey, am I supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit only on Sundays? No, thank you. Do I need to walk in the Spirit just on Tuesdays? No. So I need to make sure that I'm worshiping, honoring, lifting up Jesus Christ. Not all. I don't go around, you know, bowing the knee, raising my hands, all these things in order to act like I'm worshiping. I can worship Him without doing all that. But I have to do it right. And that's why I recommend having right music. Third thing that will help you get filled is to be thankful. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. And Jennifer, I'd like you to look at verse 19 to show you where the music thing comes from. And then look at verse 20. If you'll read, Jennifer, read verses 18, 19, and 20 and see how they all go together. Ephesians 5, 18, 19, and 20.
All right. So I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, the way I do that is by speaking to myself in psalms and hymns and to others and spiritual songs. And verse 20 says, giving what? Giving thanks. How often? And for how many things? Isn't that wrong? Who put that in there? Be thankful. I can't emphasize that enough. I can't repeat that enough. Acts 16. Andrew, look at Acts 16 and verse 25. When should I be thankful? Let's see here. Mary Ann, when's an easy time to be thankful? That's right. Let me show you a good time that you should decide, I'm going to be thankful anyway. Acts 16 and verse 25, Andrew. Wow. So what time was it? Okay, there's an always. And where were they? And for all time, for all things, in prison, after being beaten, and they sang what? Praises. They were grateful. You know, I just can't emphasize enough that the Bible says, and be thankful. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You want to be filled with the Spirit? You want to walk in the Spirit? Choose to be thankful. Decide not to complain. You may want to complain. You may have every reason to complain. You choose not to. And then the Holy Spirit says, I think I can fill that person. Another thing. Now we hit the road. Desire a biblical purpose for the Holy Spirit in your life. Romans chapter 12 now. Romans chapter 12. I'm going to get Brother Dan. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6. You know what these seven things are called? They are gifts of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, make sure you're finding a purpose for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Everybody wants money, but God's not going to bless a Christian just with a bunch of money for themselves. Not if you're really saved. If you're walking in the Spirit, you ought to say, Lord, you know what I'd like? I'd like 5,000 euros. Not for me, but so I can put it in the offering box. I wonder if you'd get 5,000 extra euros. I wonder if you'd argue with God whether that was for you or not. You see, we want the Holy Spirit for ourselves, but if you decide, Lord, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that I can do something, so I can... And this brings up a very good point. The purpose of being filled with the Holy Spirit, you ready? You see that word right there? It's to empty it out. What good is a cup of coffee? It's not going to be drunk. What good is an apple tree if the apples aren't going to be eaten? What good is the Holy Spirit in your life if He's not going to be poured out into the people around you and you're empty? The purpose of the Holy Spirit in your life is the most important thing you need to pray. God fills a believer not so they can feel better about themselves. We are so, so depraved. We are so depressed because we think of ourselves. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to get you not thinking about yourself, but to think about a world going to hell. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 4. Paul, if you would read verses 18 and 19. Luke 4, 18 and 19. Listen to the Lord Jesus as He speaks about the purpose of the Holy Spirit. He's filled with Him, obviously. But the purpose of His filling of the Holy Spirit in verse 18. So why was the Holy Spirit on Jesus? Why had the Holy Spirit filled him without measure? So he could preach, so he could heal the brokenhearted. For a purpose. And it wasn't for him, it was for others, wasn't it? So, you need to ask God to fill you for a specific purpose. We get ready to go out on Saturdays, we get ready to go soul winning. You know what I pray? Lord, fill me as I go out soul winning. Because I need to be filled to do this great task. You just don't just pray, Lord, fill me. That's an empty prayer in my book. That's wrong. That's a half of a prayer. Pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can be like Christ. So that you can conquer a stronghold in your life. Ask God to fill you so you can teach a Sunday school class. So you can preach the gospel. So you can put your arm around somebody and say, I don't know how I can minister, but I've got to help. I've got to try. Pursue the filling, not the feeling. Oh, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Fill me like a radio antenna. You're looking for the wrong thing. Remember, the purpose of your filling of the Holy Spirit is so that you can be emptied out and then have to go and get filled up again so that you get emptied out. And by the way, when you get emptied out, the people who take of you won't ever thank you. But you will enjoy getting filled again and giving again. It's you desiring that, Lord, fill me for a purpose. And that's going to lead to in a couple of points here. I'll finish this. Number five, ask for his filling. How do you get filled? You ask for it. Look at Luke chapter 11. Nita, you want to read? Or does Marlene want to read? It's 11, 12, and 13. Luke 11, verses 11, 12, and 13. Will he give him a stone? All right. You've never, when Marcus was hungry and said, "Have we got fish tonight?" You said, "Yeah, it's called serpent." You never swapped him out and tried to give him a snake for dinner, did you? No, I don't think so. All right, so in verse 12. Scorpion. Know how. Just like a child saying, "Can I have a sandwich?" "Yeah, here's a stone, kid." You wouldn't do that. You'd give him a sandwich. And how much more will our Heavenly Father, when we ask for the Holy Spirit, will He say, "Sure." You have not, what does James say? Because you ask not. We forget to just ask for the Holy Spirit. You know, you never need to ask for His presence. This is not a prayer for a Christian to pray, "Lord, I need your Holy Spirit to come into me." You know, when you got saved, He already came in. Galatians 4, verse 6 says, when we got saved, the Spirit of God's Son came into us and started crying what? Abba, Father. He's already in there. You don't ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit. What are you asking for? The filling of the Holy Spirit. You're asking God to come into rooms that nobody has been in for years. You're asking God, His Holy Spirit, to be able to go into the dark places, go into your past,
go into your pains and the scars. You're asking them to go into those protected areas that you've never let anybody get close to. You're asking them to fill every corner. You know what? If you ask Him, He will. Until you ask Him, He never will. And so a lot of us, we have the Lord in a little corner of our life, and we wonder why we're so miserable. Because we have all these doors and these areas, and nobody's going to ever open that door. Nobody's going in there. And the Holy Spirit's going, I need in there. I think I can bring some light in there. I think I can bring some healing in there. I think I can help you. Ask Him for filling. And really, ask Him every day. You say, how often? One man asked a preacher about 150 years ago named D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody had some great messages on the Holy Spirit, on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Somebody said, how often should I ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit? About every time you can think of it, he said. There's not a time that you shouldn't be begging God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He said this. He said, because we are leaky. And I thought, that's very practical. We just need to pray, constantly saying, Lord, please fill me. Please. I'm so full of me. I want to be full of you. Two more thoughts. Willingly put up with whatever God's will is for your life. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Willingly. See, everybody I know is saying, I wish God would show me His will. No, you don't, because if He ever did, you'd reject it. Romans chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2. Nita. I have found that most people want God's power, they want His blessings, but they will not put up with His will. Lord, you can do anything, but don't call me to go as a missionary. Lord, I don't love anybody except Him. What are you doing? You're not yielding. You're conformed to your designs instead of to His hand. And if you want the work of the Holy Spirit, if you want the filling of the Holy Spirit, willingly put up with whatever God's will is for your life. Wherever God puts you, serve Him there. The last thought. How to get filled. We'll talk about more of this next Sunday, and I'll analyze a couple of different angles on this thing and help you look at some people who accepted and rejected it. The last thing that if you're going to be filled with, you ought to want to stay filled. And the last one is you need to protect the filling. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, Young Han. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Short verse, short and sweet. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. All right, say it again. All right, what does quench mean? I'm asking a Korean what an English word is. It's Greek. All right, so what does quench mean? Put aside, not quite. I don't know how that's translated in anybody want to help him? What is quench? Andrew. Good. Or a thirst. Okay. So it means to dampen. I like that word there. You know, other words that the Bible talks about is don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And it talks about don't hinder or frustrate the fact He's trying to fill you and you keep pushing Him away, you push Him to the side. If you ever get filled with the Holy Spirit of God, stay there. Protect that. Don't let yourself sit down and watch some filth on television that will drive Him out. Don't let yourself just go on the internet and find what's out there and it quench the Holy Spirit. Don't let your tongue start saying things that you know only hurt and are only pulling somebody down. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm out of here. Don't let your ears begin to hear gossip and bad reports and things. Listen, folks, we're surrounded by all of this stuff. If you ever experience the filling of the Holy Spirit that gives you peace, beyond understanding that gives you courage that you've never had normally. If you've ever experienced the joy of the filling of the Holy Spirit, please protect it. Please protect it. Because that's a great gift God wants to constantly keep giving. So whenever you do want the filling of the Holy Spirit, these are some things that you've got to put in place. Believe me, the Holy Spirit already is trying to fill you. Look at me. He's trying to fill every believer right now. And as you yield, He begins to fill you. Make sure you keep it and protect it. Father, would You just bless these thoughts? I pray it would be important to us so that we really, we're trying to be get this thing right so that not only am I filled with the Holy Spirit, it's so that I can walk, live in that filling. So that I can serve in that filling. So I can be a filled Christian instead of an empty, vain, dead Christian. I'm afraid there are too many like that. Too many times where I'm just full of myself. I'm filled with some spirit all the time. I pray that I would be filled with Your Holy Spirit more and more and more. I pray that's the prayer of every person in this room. And tonight, even at midnight, may we ask You, God, as I sing praise to You from a broken heart, from a hurting heart, from trials and troubles, may I praise You and worship Jesus because I need to be filled so that I can live like Jesus wants me and saved me to be. In Jesus' name, amen.